He's like, done. And Barbara's like, no. So it was a great transaction, but we made a deal for $100,000 for 30%, I think, of our business, which, listen, we were ready to go. We were like, this is going to be great. This is exciting. We hug Mark. We go off camera. We were excited. We go home. We're like, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening. And we talk with Mark via email. Everything's great. Like, just kind of going through, just talking, asking him questions. We get with his team, you know, an attorney and a business consultant, and start to work through the contract. And there were things in the contract that were really uncomfortable for us, that we were not comfortable at all with. And we tried to negotiate those points, and they weren't willing to budge. One of the things that really kind of ripped our soul out was, like, we could never do anything other than franchising. And we could never do anything else. Well, we have our own music. Like, we write our own music. We have, there's a lot of ideas that we have. We're entrepreneurs. Like, I'm going to continue to build out this brand. I'm not going to just go sign contracts, which is all they wanted us to do. So we were like, can you take this part out? Can we edit this part? And it was like, no. And so we had to make the difficult decision to say thank you, but no thank you, in this really long, flowery email. He was not happy about that. He was really ticked and replied in such a manner. And then that was it. And that was it. That email, his reply, that was it. And his email confirmed that was a good decision for us. I have never regretted it or looked back. And we've had the flexibility to do what we want. And we have 36 franchises worldwide. And
welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin', and boy, am I fired up today. I have the rock star of all rock stars. And yes, as you know, if you've listened to the show, don't be offended, Megan, but I say that to all my rock stars. Welcome, everybody. Megan Riley from Texas, Rock Wall, Texas. Where's that? Where is Rock Wall, Texas?
Dallas. It's a Dallas suburb. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So the Dallas area, Megan is the owner and chief operating officer at Tippy Toes for about 21 years at this point. Tippy Toes is a dance education center for children. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Yep. Dance company, dance education, dance. We do kids dance. That's what we're all about.
Perfect. Super fun, super high energy. I was telling her a few minutes ago, I wish that it existed, at least in my neck of the woods, back when my daughter was that age. Now she's going to be 12 soon. And she's also, Megan Riley is also a podcast host, and I really like this. We're going to dig into this in a few minutes. It is called the Who Is Your Mama podcast. That's super cool. It's got a great story. I'm already subscribed and I can't wait for another episode. For those that don't know, Megan and her sister Sarah were the CEO of the company. Well, they were actually on Shark Tank season 2, episode 1, and it got more than 6 million views. So we got to dig into that as well. So Megan, if you don't mind, I'm just going to dig right in with a couple questions I've been dying to ask you.
Go for it.
So number one, Tippy Toes, you have 36 franchises worldwide. You started franchising back in about 2009. Can you just give us a quick idea of how the company started in general and how you ended up leading it up to the franchising model, which none of that is super easy, and you make it look like you could just do it like that.
Do it in my sleep. Yeah. It's an overnight success of, you know, almost 22 years, you know, it's one of those stories. There's always the story behind the businesses. So it actually started, my sister started it because she got fired from a waitressing job. We wanted to go to a college football game and they wouldn't let her have the weekend off. And she thought, what are they going to really do? Well, they fired her. And so she got fired and she needed to make a car payment. My parents weren't going to bail her out. And so they said, you got to figure it out. So she decided to go to a local daycare when she was a sophomore in college and start dancing, teaching dance class to the kids there at the school. So it worked through. She did that through college. She's a few years older than I am. So when I came to college, I started teaching also. And then, like, as life does in that time of your life, we both moved. She moved you know, with her boyfriend was. I switched schools. We started it there, and we kept moving just for life reasons. And we kept kind of managing where we had businesses, you know, tippy toes locations, and then continued to expand it. So we did it on our own for about 10 years. And then we decided, you know, we actually were trying to do something else with the business, trying to create a television show, and that didn't work. And so somebody was like, have you thought about franchising? And so at that point we decided to franchise. So really, two big moments of our company came on the heels of what would be considered a failure. So then we started franchising in 2009, and we love it. It's been awesome. And what we love the most is that we're able to reach more people because of franchising.
Failure breeds opportunity, right? And look what it did there. Failure, your mm-hmm. sister got fired. Thank you, company she worked at. That's amazing. She should yes. be so grateful. That football game getting in the way was amazing. and then failure led to the franchise model. So that's fantastic. I love that story. So let me ask you, when it comes to how you look for franchise operators around the country, or even around the world, quite frankly, because you're worldwide now. What are some characteristics you look for in somebody that loves your product, your company, and wants to be a part of it?
I love this question. I appreciate you asking it, because it's actually changed over time. So in the beginning, please. You know, I didn't know what we were doing with franchising. I legit got franchise management for dummies when we started. Because I was
Is
like,
that a real
I don't
thing?
Even know. Yeah, it's, you know, the dummy series, yeah. There's a franchise management for dummies. And so I got it and I read it to cover to cover. And then I started writing our manuals. And, you know, I was 24 at the time. And I'm like, I don't know this. I'm just following with the book, you know, like that's legitimately how it started. We had a consultant that helped us early on, but, you know, it was just trying to troubleshoot. So early on, you know, we were looking for people that were, you know, a lot of them were raising a family and wanting to work from home. And because what's the beauty of Tippy Toes is we don't build out a studio right off the bat. We go into schools and locations and YMCAs and gyms and offer classes on site. So the entry cost is relatively low for a franchise, and you can work from home. And, you know, I love the model. It's really user friendly, especially in the beginning. But then a lot of people will end up opening a studio. They get this huge following, and then it makes sense to open the studio. Over time, we have seen that, you know, you don't have to love dance. You don't have to be an expert in dance. You don't have to have some history of education or anything like that. Now we have people that were former teachers. We have former corporate people that wanted to just start their own business. What we're looking for is somebody that wants to serve their community. That's at the end of the day what we do. We talk a lot about being more than dance. Anybody can teach somebody how to do a shuffle step. I could teach you, Eric, how to do a shuffle step. That's not, like, dance is our vehicle. We're really trying to build the confidence of kids. We want to be a convenient, positive experience for families. So that's why we're on site. So working parents have, you know, we offer a lot of flexibility for working parents. So, you know, so that's a important thing. We want somebody that wants to build something, because, you know, you've got to be ready to sell. You've got to be ready to manage a team. And you've got to be excited about being a part of your community. If you love dance, great. If you don't, that's okay. You know, that's just a part of the business. So that's evolved over time. And it's really a business. The other thing I love is our community. The community of our franchise owners is like no other. It's supportive. It's positive. It's fun. We have a great time. Like, we can't wait to get together. We get a house in Florida in you know, February. We all hang out. You know, I mean, it's a really positive, great group of people, and brilliant people coming from all backgrounds. And they all add something special to make our company really unique.
Would you say that the franchisees are like, this is an after career thing for them, or a mid-career thing, or a side hustle, as Gary Vee, who we both love, would say, or is this their full-time thing?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, we've had teachers that were teaching in college. They get out of college and they start a franchise and they crush it, because they've like grown into the business, and it's amazing. We've had people retire from, you know, a very corporate typical job, but they still have this stuff, you know, this drive in them, but they want it to be their own. So we have that. We have people that, you know, are kind of one foot, they want to keep their one foot in profession, but also have a family life. And listen, when you run a business, it's never part-time, like, right. if, in my opinion. And you know, I'll say we didn't express, you know, that wasn't always clear early on. I think people thought it was like, I want to have a, you know, I can do both. And you can, but that also means you might be on your laptop at night on the couch. You know, because you're, you know, if you're going to be at pickup and you're going to be at drop-off, like I am, I, right before this podcast, I was at the park. I do pickup and drop-off back when my kids used to go to school. You know, but I also work at different times, and but I love it, and I'm dedicated to it, and that's what I want. So, so I mean, we have people that use the business in all different ways. It's a profitable business, and there's a lot of variation in how people run it. Some people come in, they teach all the classes, they, you know, keep their staff lean, and they do everything on their own. They don't have a studio. Well, that's a different experience than someone that gets a staff, gets a studio sooner rather than later, and uses it more as an investment and is a little bit more out of the business. Both models work, and we've worked it so that both can be really successful.
I like that there's variety, so you don't have to, it, you know, most people think the word, at least me, when I used to think of the word franchise, I think of cookie cutter. And of course you have the model and the standard operating procedures and everything that somebody needs to be successful, but it's not necessarily, from what I can tell, a one size fits all approach. They don't have to have a studio at first. Like, there's just lots of different components, which I think is great for you. And it's obviously working fantastic.
Yeah, I love that too, actually, about it. And I think the thing about it is Sarah and I are that way. Like, we know that someone might have something that's a really great idea, so we're not going to say, like, it doesn't fit in this box, so we're not interested. We're always open. Now, we have parameters, and we're like, no, we're not going to do, you know, we're not going to go that far. We're not going to start teaching karate classes, or we're, you know, there's of course things that we keep things, you know, we're really focused on our brand. We write our own music. We've got all sorts of, you know, brand focus, but we also want people to be excited about what they're doing. And that's going to be different for different people. So as long as we're staying and you know, staying in communication with our owners and making sure that, you know, they're feeling the passion and the drive, then we feel like there can be a lot of variation as long as we're all going to the same big goal.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, let's switch gears for a second, if you don't mind. I want to talk about your podcast. For those that didn't hear it, it is called the Who Is Your Mama podcast. I would abbreviate it to Who's Your Mama? But yes, that's a throw on my age from an old sitcom called Dinosaurs, but I don't know that anybody's going to remember that. But that's such a great name. Tell us about that. Where did the idea come from? How did it start? And what exactly are you trying to do here?
Yeah, I love it. So I have three kids. I've got three girls under the age of 8. And as any parent knows, they don't come with any sort of directions. And so as they get older, you're like, I'm not just picking what diaper I'm going to put on their bottom. I'm trying to make them be good humans. Like, how do I do that? And so I have an amazing mom. I would go to her with questions. And then I thought, like, you know, I really admire Sarah Blakely. She's the founder of Spanx, created a multi-billion dollar business from scratch from her idea. So I was like, what did her mom do? Like, how was she raised? And so that's how it started. It started as me being a curious mom, wanting to try to figure out how to do this better. How can I be the best mom I can be? Well, I like to learn from other people who've done it better than I have, or who have already been in my shoes. And so I've interviewed everybody from like a Sarah Blakely's mom, Jesse Itzler's mom, Kyler Murray, D-Rock, Gary V's right hand, or, you know, creative director, right, or whatever. Colin O'Brady, who's currently trying to set a world record, he's unbelievable adventurer. So I've interviewed these people to find out how they were raised, and it's been a blast. It's been fascinating. What's really interesting is I had this idea for a while, but I still had kids at home. Like, I was doing nap schedules. I couldn't actually act on any of those things that I was doing. I had this idea, but I was running tippy toes. I really wanted to do the podcast, but I didn't actually put any action into it. I just thought about it a lot. And then my kids were all going to be at least in preschool for at least 5 hours a day. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this time? Like, I was used to cramming so much in a small amount of time. So I thought, all right, I'm going to start doing something that's actually might lead to something. I send Jesse Itzler, who I don't know at all. He doesn't know me at all. I send him a cold DM, and I'd sent other DMs too. I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'd love to interview your mom. And he was like, cool, I'd love to see what she has to say. And I was like, first of all, awesome. Second of all, how do I record a podcast?
What platform did you DM him on?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. hit him up on Instagram. He didn't know me at all. I just gave him the spiel, kind of what I was trying to do. And he was excited and was like, sure. And I had no idea how I was going to record a podcast. I was reaching out to people like, but like, I didn't care about what microphone I was going to have if I didn't have a guest. So I figured it out. So he said yes. And then he loved it. And then he was like, I want you to interview Sarah's mom. And then, so it just kind of snowballed from there. And then he ended up starting this radio platform. It's called BYLR Radio, and it's a 24-hour radio streaming app. They've got apps and podcasts, and he was like, I want your show exclusively on this platform, and we'll kind of be partners on it. And there's other people involved too. There's a lot of other people. So I went from not knowing how to podcast to having someone love it. And then specifically to have his support and his excitement about it. It's been really, really cool. And so that just released in September on the app. And it's been so much fun. It's been a really great experience.
That is such an incredible story. And I hope you're not judging me on my podcast interviewing style and my abilities or lack thereof, because I too am just figuring it out now. I think we're 26 episodes in, one a week.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think I'm at like, or you're ahead of me, but I'm like at like 20 or 21 at this point. And I think that's what I love about podcasting is everybody does it differently. I've been on multiple podcasts and then I have my own, and everybody has their own flavor, and that's what I love. And then people can find what they like. So, I love it. Good job. You're doing a heck of a job.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I want to see you, I want to hear you interview, Jessica Alba's mom. The reason being is, I don't know about you, but when my kids were in diapers, my wife was in love with Honest, the company, and she still is. We don't buy diapers there anymore, but she still buys a lot of the Honest products. She always says that they're good for anything, not just baby stuff. This is not a paid endorsement for Honest. It's just something.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you can get me that interview, I would be down. And I've reached out to her because she does have a great relationship. It's interesting, like, to find people that have a good relationship with their mom, whose their child has like been happy in their life, who their parent is still alive. It's interesting how small that crowd becomes, and then for them to actually say yes, that's a whole other thing. So, she would be an amazing person to speak with. Hopefully someday.
That's awesome. So real quick, before we move on to our final stuff, your podcast cannot be found, to be clear, on typical iTunes and, you know, Spotify and all the places my bad podcast can be found. no, don't quote that. So remind everybody where they can find it.
Yes, thank you. It is not available anywhere else except BYLR Radio. So go to whatever phone you have, go to the App Store, get BYLR Radio. It's a little green, it just says BYLR. And it's a free app, and there's music 24/7, there's DJ mixes, which are really great. I've got a podcast, there's really unique podcasts. I don't know if you're familiar with Chad Sanchagrin. He's an incredible business coach and person. He's just got lots of great insight. There's things for parents, and one that's a dad best I can, so it's focused on, you know, fatherhood, which is a really great podcast. There's one about grieving, there's business, there's a lot of wellness as well. So there's like, I want to say 10 or 11 podcasts that are dynamite. There's also one called Culturation, which is really cool. So there's a lot of variation, and they're all just there to consume, and the library is there. So you could go through mine. You could listen to Jay Williams' mom. He was the awesome star at Duke and on ESPN all the time. His mom I interviewed. There's a bunch of really awesome ones. I interviewed a mom that has terminal cancer to get her point of view. So there's a lot there to unpack. So definitely go get BYLR Radio app, and then you can check it all out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, I can't not talk to a Shark Tank contestant without talking about your episode of Shark Tank. For those that I don't know, I'm a huge fan of Shark Tank, good, bad, or indifferent. I've never been on. I don't have an idea to go on either. But I'm just enthralled by the business aspect. I love business. I always love business and marketing and sales. And I really, truly, we just met a month or two ago. And as soon as I heard you say your company, I was like, wait, what? I know that name, and I knew it immediately. I didn't know what season, but I Googled it, of course, and turns out it was season 2, episode 1. I absolutely remembered that season. And I just wanted to see if you could share a little bit about it. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's not like it's a spoiler alert here. People, it's been around for it's more than a decade at this point, this episode or your episode. But you went into the tank. You were looking for $30,000 for 5% of your company, Tippy Toes. I mean, this is how long ago it was. You were talking about CDs and DVDs. What are those, right?
I know.
So I remember I watched it again to be sure before we started. You ended up getting offers from Kevin. He wanted to give you 50%, that greedy whore, 51%. $50,000 for 51%, not shocked. Barbara was going to give you $60,000 for 20%. And Mr. Cumid, he came in and saved the day, I think. Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, it's so funny. We were in there for an hour and they show 8 minutes. So when you see the result of it, you're like, wow, like it's amazing. I mean, what happened is what happened, but to see how they kind of slice and dice it. Yeah, so our episode was one that Mark kind of did something that's notable that they continue to go back to. He was like, you know, we went out in the hallway, which they don't show, to try to do math, which, by the way, you cannot do math on Shark Tank. Like set. It is way too difficult to think of anything. So we're out there like trying to figure out what we need to come back in with. And we come back in and Mark's like, wait, before you say anything, if whatever number you say, I like, it's a deal. We're not negotiating with the other sharks. And we're like, okay. So we say it and he's like, done. And Barbara's like, no. So it was a great transaction, but we made a deal for $100,000 for 30%, I think, of our business, which listen, we were ready to go. We were like, this is going to be great. This is exciting. We hug Mark. We go off camera. You know, we were excited. Right. We go home. We're like, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening. And we talk with Mark via email. Everything's great. Like just kind of going through, just talking, asking him questions. We get with his team, you know, an attorney and a business consultant, right, and start to work through the contract. And there were things in the contract that were really uncomfortable for us, that we were not comfortable at all with, and we tried to negotiate those points, and they weren't willing to budge. One of the things that really kind of ripped our soul out was like, we could never do anything other than franchising, and we could never do anything else. Well, we have our own music, like we write our own music, we have, you know, there's a lot of ideas that we have. We're entrepreneurs. Like, I'm going to continue to build out this brand. I'm not going to just go sign contracts, which is all they wanted us to do. So we were like, can you take this part out? Can we edit this part? And it was like, no. And so we had to make the difficult decision to say thank you, but no thank you, in this really long, flowery email. He was not happy about that. He was really ticked and replied in such a manner. And then that was it. And that was it. That email, his reply, that was it. And his email confirmed that was a good decision for us. I have never regretted it or looked back. And we've had the flexibility to do what we want. And we have 36 franchises worldwide. And we've raised our families. And we've had 6 kids' albums all on iTunes that have all gotten, you know, on top charts. And, you know, we have a bunch of people running businesses, serving kids, thousands of kids all over. And so anyways, it was an amazing experience. It's been rerun a billion times. You know, we met the other contestants, which was a blast, and, you know, we continue to cheer on their businesses. And, you know, it was a great experience. It's funny, when we first went on though, like, it wasn't the household name that it is. So that decision was hard to make, to go on a Shark Tank. You look at that contract before you go, you're like signing your life away in a way. You know, it's a hard decision, you know. But once we were in, we were like, we got to go. We got to be prepared. We got to make it work. We got to make sure they don't rip us to shreds. And then, you know, it was a gamble. It was a gamble, but I'm glad we did it.
Well, I saw that Hershevek wasn't all in. Damon John, I had to write it down. I thought it was amazing because I forgot. He called you extortionist with two twos, and that he loved you. Like, he was all, yeah, like, he loved it. And Kevin O'Leary, God bless his heart, he just said, come work for me and make you some real money. So yeah, you get a job offer. That's something.
Yeah. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. And you know, it was, I think they're making a TV show. So I think they saw two girls in their 20s running a business and they were like, let's peg them as, you know, like, basically we were telling them that we charge royalties. We at that time we did some financing for the people that wanted to get our business, and they were like, what, you charge them? And then this, and it's like, well, that's what that's exactly what we do. We give them all the tools. So yes, we do charge them. And yes, we do offer financing, but they, you know, they pinned us like, you know, you already got your sharks. You're already, you know, which is, you know, it was a TV show. Like, and that was part of the risk you go in. But at the end of the day, you know, I think they bought into our confidence in what we do. And that to me, as a business owner, you've got to have confidence in what you're doing. We went in there prepared. And that is, I think, so crucial. Like, we went in prepared, so then they weren't going to trip us up. Like, it's my business. And right, I've been prepared. I've been studying. So then we're very confident in front of them. We, you know, like, I knew what I was offering. I knew what we had. And then obviously they were excited and interested. And so I think they bought into us and they bought into our confidence. And then our numbers backed up everything that we were saying, which is helpful.
I would say so. And if my memory serves, I could be wrong. Somebody might have to fact check me, but I'm pretty sure that was like Mark Cuban's first episode because he was not part of season one. They got rid of Kevin Harrington and replaced him with Mark Cuban. So that's season two, episode one. So him going in, trying to make a splash, as you said, it's a TV show. They need ratings. They need storylines. So it's a shame it didn't work out at the time, I'm sure. But as you're looking back, hindsight, I don't want to say it's 2020, hindsight worked out.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, there were moments that I think that next year, or maybe even that same year, the Mavs went to like the finals or won it or something. And everybody had the brand names of a lot of the people that he made deals with. And so like there's moments like in those moments, you're like, that would have been nice if that said tippy toes on the back of everyone's shirt. Having said that, one of those companies is now bankrupt. So then I'm like, well, you know, like it's long term. Like I make decisions in business based on long term outcomes. I'm not worried about the short term. Like, yeah, that would have been fun. But another thing I talk about a lot when I speak is that there are no silver bullets. Going on Shark Tank is great if your business is going to either close or get a deal. But like, just because you go on Shark Tank, it doesn't mean all your answers are arrived to you on a silver platter. In business, it is about stacking wins and making your losses work for you. The losses are going to be there. You figure out how to make them work for you and you move on. Like nothing is going to be the answer. Nothing is going to set you up so that the rest is easy street. That doesn't exist. That's not real. It's totally a mirage people are going after. And I figured that out after 22 years of, you know, the beginning of that looking like, oh, once we release an album and it's number one on iTunes, that's going to be like, okay, that's great. We move on. Get on Entrepreneur Magazine in the top 500 franchises. Great. You move on. Get on Shark Tank. That's so fun. I love it. Move on. Like you just keep going. You just keep building and creating no matter what you do, whether you're an entrepreneur or you run a business or you're an employee, like you just keep going and you keep stacking things. You keep learning and you know, just keep rolling.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You, as you said, and I say it all the time, I've been in business 21 years. We are 21, 22 year overnight success stories. That's what we are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Like when you say so we started in 1999, that you're like 19, like that's crazy that it's 19. But also, you know, I don't know. I love it. I think people sometimes you hear like the few stories here and there of like somebody that a startup, the unicorn companies, things like that. And I never want people to think that that's the norm. You know, like so many great companies are out there that have just been grinding for a long time. And for me, I'm way more interested in standing the test of time because I hope to be doing this for a long time and continuing to make an impact through tippy toes and podcasts and whatever else I might do down the road.
So real quick, 30 seconds, you went to college in Oklahoma. What did you think you were going to be doing? Like tippy toes wasn't an idea.
Yeah, so I, before tippy toes ever started, I went to school to be a registered dietitian. I'm a registered dietitian. I
almost
got my master's.
The same as running your company the way you do it now.
Yes, exactly. It's very, very similar, right along that same path. But I have a list from like when I was in high school and I wanted to speak and I wanted to build a business. So I always was interested in business. I didn't necessarily know what it was going to be. And then as tippy toes happened, it was pretty early on that I was like, that will be fun. And my sister was running it and it was, you know, we could do it together and that was exciting too. And we bring different things to the table, which I think is important to recognize. But I, on my list, like I wanted to own a business. I wanted to speak to people. I wanted to, I wanted to help serve people. And I can look at the list now and I'm like, wow, that's kind of always been a part of what I've always, you know, what always resonated for me. So I was always leaning in nutrition and sports. Like that was because I loved playing sports as a kid and I loved health and nutrition. And my thing was like, I'm always gonna have to eat. So I might as well go to college and learn about like food and science. And I liked school. And so that was just kind of logical for me. You know, and I think two degrees, you know, they're great, but it's more about like, you know, the process of learning, the going to school, exposing yourself to different things. So I think I've always wanted to kind of do what I'm doing without really knowing what the specific business would be.
That's awesome. I love that. You know, before we finish up, where can people reach out to you and find you? Because ultimately, you know, you talked about a cold DM to, to Sarah Blakely's husband, you know, I met you on Clubhouse, which is a brand new app, and I didn't cold DM. Would it be considered a cold call? Because I did cold call you after our conversation, right?
I invited think so.
You into a private chat. That's not as weird as it sounds, by the way. And we chatted, and here we are. So how can
yeah. Well, I'm on Instagram. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm at Megan L. Riley, and it's R-E-I-L-L-Y. But I'm on LinkedIn. You know, I post a few times a week there. My Instagram is more family oriented. I've got Who Is Your Mama has Instagram as well. So I post a lot about specifically the podcast there. But I'm all over.
One too, right?
Yeah, and Tippy Toes Dance at Tippy Toes Dance has Instagram. You can kind of see more about that business. So LinkedIn, Instagram, Clubhouse, TikTok. You know, I'm a little bit in all those places, but LinkedIn business wise is really where I spend a lot of my time. And then socially and personally, I'm on Instagram a bunch, but I'm not private there. So I love to connect with entrepreneurs and business people, whatever. I love connecting with people and, you know, learning and helping and doing whatever I can for other people.
And those are all the social
it
media
sounds so
stuff.
Cheesy.
No,
it sounds doesn't. So cheesy, but I mean it.
No. That's all the social media handles and so forth. And I suspect anybody can Google and find those boring old fashioned websites. What's a website?
I know.
I bet yes. Those exist. Had we been doing this podcast interview 5-6 years ago, the first thing out of everybody's mouth would have been www. But notice nobody said it, which I think is awesome. And it tells the time that we live in. So
yeah, anyway. tippytoesdance.com is there and whoisyourmama.com is there. But yes,
there
just find me on social.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. Well, listen, appreciate you so very much, Megan. I'm so glad we got to know each other more. Thank you for coming on. For anybody watching here on YouTube or listening anywhere you consume podcasts, not yet on BYLR Radio, but who knows in the future. So anywhere you consume podcasts, please do me a favor. A short little written note would be incredible, and 5 stars would totally rock. For everybody behind the scenes, because it definitely isn't me. Here at the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast, I'm Eric Silverman. That, my friends, is Megan Riley, and you have just tuned in to another rockin' episode of Rockstars Rockin'. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts, and if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, Rockstars. Keep rocking.